Welcome to Scripture, Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret. This is our ninth study in the book of Exodus. We are in Exodus chapter 12, verse 1. And Father, we pray that you would add your blessings to the word that we are about to study. In Jesus' name, amen. Exodus 12, verse 1. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, "This month is to be for you the first month of your year. This is the beginning of Israel, the nation. This is their declaration of independence, their 4th of July. 3. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. If any household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share one with their nearest neighbor, having taken into account the number of people there are. You are to determine the amount of lamb needed in accordance with what each person will eat. That lamb is a symbol of the Lord Jesus Christ and his sacrificial death on the cross. The Passover meal was celebrated family by family, but each individual had to eat some of the meat. Now, lesson for us today. You can attend church with other people, but salvation is a personal matter between you and Christ. To be saved, we must, as individuals, receive Christ. 5. The animals you choose must be year-old males without defect, and you may take them from the sheep or the goats. Take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the people of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. The lamb had to be without physical defect. That points to Christ and his sinlessness. The blood of a blemished lamb on the door will not save the firstborn inside of that house. And if Jesus had ever sinned, he could not save us from hell. 7. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lamb. The blood of the lamb spared the life of the firstborn in the home where it was applied. God's directions had to be followed for it to work. Verse 8. That same night they are to eat the meat roasted over the fire along with bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. Bitter herbs were used to season the meat, and those bitter herbs were also symbolic of all those bitter years of slavery down in Egypt. And just as the bitter herbs enhance the flavor of the meat, so the years of bitterness will make their freedom more enjoyable. No one loves good more than one who has lived through bad. Verse 9. Do not eat the meat raw or cooked in water, but roast it over the fire, head, legs, and inner parts. The Egyptians used animal organs for the purpose of divination. That won't happen with any of these Passover lambs. God makes sure of that. The heart, the lungs, the kidneys, and the liver were roasted with the rest of the meat. 10. Do not leave any of it till morning. If some is left till morning, you must burn it. Now, in a climate like Egypt's, meat left standing overnight would spoil for sure. And God would not let that happen to this sanctified meat. The things of God must always be treated with reverence, not worshipped, but respected. 11. This is how you are to eat it, with your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. God stopped just short of saying, get your Passover meal to go. But pretty close. He was saying, eat it and then leave. In other words, as soon as you are redeemed, I want you out of Egypt. And you know what? In Scripture, Egypt is symbolic of the world. And as soon as we are redeemed in Christ, God wants us to stop living like the world. This is a picture of that. Verse 12. On that same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn, both men and animals, and I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. This tenth plague was a direct hit on all Egypt's gods. The Egyptians dedicated their firstborn to all the gods of Egypt. Well, they can't have them because the real God is about to take them. And there isn't a single thing that any of those phony gods of Pharaoh can do to stop it either. Verse 13. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. Every Hebrew parent who believed God and put the lamb's blood on the door saved the life of their firstborn. Now, there is no scientific reason for that blood to stop death from entering their home, but it is God's word, and it works. Verse 14. This is a day you are to commemorate. For the generations to come, you shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance. Even though the Israeli animal sacrifices have long ago ceased, they still celebrate Passover. It is how God said it would be. 15. For 7 days you are to eat bread made without yeast. On the first day remove the yeast from your houses, for whoever eats anything with yeast in it from the first day through the seventh must be cut off from Israel. The Passover meal was observed on the 14th day of the month. Then, for the next 7 days, no yeast was to be eaten or found anywhere in any Hebrew home. Any Hebrew found with yeast would be kicked out of the covenant with God. Why so strict, you might be wondering? Well, because yeast is symbolic of sin in Scripture. God is sending a message. We are saved through Christ. But any Christian who tolerates sin is cut off from enjoying fellowship with God. Get rid of the yeast. Get rid of the sin. If you are my people. Verse 16. On the first day, hold a sacred assembly, and another one on the seventh day. Do no work at all on these days, except to prepare food for everyone to eat. That is all you may do. So by order of God, His people were to meet together for public worship on the first and the seventh day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Verse 17. Celebrate the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Because it was on this very day that I brought your divisions out of Egypt. Celebrate this day as a lasting ordinance for the generations to come. The Passover meal remembered God's sparing of Israel's firstborn. The next day, the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, remembered the day that God set His people free. First the blood saved them, then they were set free to do God's will. And it's the same with us. First, the blood of Christ saves us. Then we are set free to live as He wants us to live. Verse 18. In the first month, you are to eat bread made without yeast. from the evening of the 14th day until the evening of the 21st day. For 7 days no yeast is to be found in your homes, and whoever eats anything with yeast in it must be cut off from the community of Israel, whether he is an alien or native born. Eat nothing made with yeast. Wherever you live, you must eat unleavened bread. And the Hebrews took God's command here literally, as they should, and just as we should take His commands to us literally. In fact, the night before the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Hebrews would remove all leaven from their homes. They would even sweep the floor and thoroughly clean all the areas so that not a trace of any yeast could possibly be found. 21. Then Moses summoned all the elders of Israel and said to them, "Go at once and select the animals for your families, and slaughter the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop, dip it into the blood in the basin, and put some of the blood on top and on both sides of the door frame. Not one of you shall go out the door of his house until morning." The blood would protect them until the wrath of God had run its course. It would protect them until the morning. Verse 23. When the Lord goes through the land to strike down the Egyptians, he will see the blood on the top and sides of the door frame, and will pass over that doorway, and he will not permit the destroyer to enter your houses and strike you down. The Israelites had been spared from some of the previous plagues. They did not have to do anything to be spared of those previous plagues. They were automatically taken care of. But the rules have changed. God's unconditional mercy in the past did not guarantee unconditional mercy here. They had to apply the blood. Verse 24. Obey these instructions as a lasting ordinance for you and your descendants. When you enter the land that the Lord will give you as He promised, observe this ceremony. And when your children ask you, "What does this ceremony mean to you?" then tell them, "It is the Lord's Passover sacrifice," or "It is the Passover sacrifice to the Lord, who passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt and spared our homes when He struck down the Egyptians." Then the people bowed down and worshipped. The Israelites did just what the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron. God always makes sure that there's some kind of a memorial that can be passed on from generation to generation when it comes to important spiritual matters. And He says, make sure your children understand what this Passover is all about. In other words, do not pass on to your children some empty religious observance. 29. At midnight, the Lord struck down all the firstborn in Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh, who sat on the throne, to the firstborn of the prisoner, who was in the dungeon, and the firstborn of all the livestock as well. Well, God did as He said He would. He had been very patient with Egypt. He gave the king many chances to let the Israelites go free, but He did not. And because He did not, and because of all the Hebrew baby boys Egypt killed, God took their firstborn. Now Egypt will submit. 30. Pharaoh and all his officials and all the Egyptians got up during the night, and there was loud wailing in Egypt, for there was not a house without someone dead. Mothers and fathers were crying over their oldest sons. Brothers and sisters were crying over their older brother. It came from every home, and it was so loud that it even woke the king up. And we'll pick up our study in verse 31 next time. Until then, so long, everyone.